SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good. Post-Independence Day, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebeck.com. Back from 8 broadcast days away, which would accumulate to 12 days, and I would say, all right, I would say at least 6 of the 12. That's fair. Six of 12, I really didn't look at much when it came to PPs and live racing and replays. It was a fair representation of what a vacation's supposed to be away from what you do day in, day out. And Casey, I said to Casey last night, in fact, I said, well, it wasn't exactly, you know, it wasn't like we were off because Case was doing plenty of work around the studio too. Everybody needs a freshening. And Tina had gotten out of school on the same day that we wrapped up the first half of the season, the year, and we had a lot of fun. In fact, just stayed around too. We were not sojourning, as it turned out, and except up to Lake George, where we had two boating opportunities, including yesterday. And as a result, I'm sitting here like on a tuffet because I can't lean against my back because, yeah. I was piloting the boat while Tina was doing all the sun bathing and also, you know, out in the water. We had a lot of fun, really nice. And at the same time was getting every important result. And there was certainly plenty of notable racing performances. We'll talk about a few of them, kind of wade into what went on the last couple of weeks. A lot of news. And we'll slip that in as the morning goes, because at the same time, one of the things I tried to do was come back for today and tomorrow, given what a great weekend we've got in store. And the Stars and Stripes at Belmont Fields were put together yesterday. It came out, frankly, even better than the probables were seemingly intended. When I looked at it, and based on what, you know, we were hearing about who was coming and so forth, it really came together nicely. So we've got that. You've got the Arlington Million Preview Day to look forward to. And really, some of the regional stakes action starts tonight. We've got the Iowa Festival of Racing today and tomorrow. Bob Nastanovich will join us in hour three. Looking forward to that. And it feels like a lot of that ridiculous heat, although it's hot right now again, it does feel like we're about ready to get this intense, I don't know, what has it been, 10 days? Legitimately, it's been hotter for this area, for Saratoga, for instance. We've had more already. It's July 5th. We've had more plus 90 days. Not even close. I mean, We had one last summer. So it qualifies as an absolutely glorious summer. Hope you had a wonderful July 4th. It's such a funny Christmas and July 4th in particular, when they're on Wednesdays, they kind of throw everybody a little bit of a curveball. What do you do? You know, you could take Thursday, Friday, make it into five, or you take Monday, two, whatever. So whatever you're doing, some of you are probably hanging out and getting your five-day holiday in. Some are like we are, coming back from time off. And either way, it's going to be a tremendous summer. You get to this point, and after Saturday, of course, once they get this other big weekend out of the way in New York, all the attention. There's plenty of attention going on at Saratoga right now, and the barn's coming alive. More and more people arriving, more and more horses, more and more activity. And after Saturday, things will really kick into high gear. Same is true in California, even though, of course, the interim meet, Los Al, and already a notable meet. They'll run the Great Lady M on Saturday. But how about of all the winners I can discuss as part of this opening and getting back into the action, how do you not appreciate Soy Fett? The 10-year-old does it again, back to back state bred stake wins for Leonard Powell and the team with Soy Fett. That was unbelievable, the Bertrando yesterday. And I was taking an interest in that just because Soy Fett, he became a millionaire with that win. He's become just really as popular as he's ever been. He's more popular now. And hard to believe a horse could be in better form at 10 than he was at 9. It's already been a much better year for him as a 10-year-old. And not that he wasn't competitive last year, but back-to-back stake wins. Last year in the Bertrando, he was 5th. Very cool. And I got to get to Leonard Powell and catch up with him. It's just an absolute wonderful story. B-squared, actually. I mean, I don't have really no excuse for B-squared not to win there, but B-squared's got plenty of opportunities. Soy Fett won't have as many. Although, who knows? The way he's going, it's incredible. The big wins, of course, to talk about, and we'll catch up with Brad Cox at the bottom of the hour, with Mark Cassie in a little bit. Hard not to start, really, the biggest racing, the grade ones. There were a handful, and the biggest race, the million-dollar race that doesn't come with a grading, but is certainly important on an annual basis, the oldest continuously run stake of its kind in North America. The Queen's Plate 159, and on a personal level, I was delighted to see Wonder Godot get that elusive big win. Has only ever missed a try in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, where she really never had a chance to put in a run. Otherwise, first, second, and third in every other start she's made. And I have to ask Cassie, this is second Queen's Plate victory, both with fillies. And the filly success in this race, in the Queen's Plate, is really astounding, frankly. And Wonder Godot was dominant. I mean, it wasn't just a nice win. She absolutely, Johnny V aboard, the addition of the blinkers, and everything comes together, and she drilled that field. The horse that really ran a great race from a difficult post, ahead by a century. And kind of interesting that there's personalities attached to both of the first and second place finishers out of Queen's Plate. Of course, Gal Gadot, Gary Barber, and Barber's had a very good couple of weeks. There's certainly a few owners around North America that have been hitting on all cylinders, and it was a great weekend for Gary Barber at Woodbine. I want to get to Gary. I exchanged a couple of notes with him, and I want to get him on. And Wonder Godot being named for actress Gal Gadot, and then ahead by a century, if you think back to when we talked about this horse last year when he burst on the scene, as did Wonder Godot, named for the late front man for the Tragically Hip, Gord Downie, and really nice. And boy, John Ross does such a great job. That was a difficult post, and Ahead by a Century ran a courageous race. Absolutely terrific. And in fact, notable that the top three finishers all seem primed to come back next week at Fort Erie and run in the Prince of Wales. Cooler Mike at a big price. Cooler Mike ended up third in here. And that's a nice finish coming out of a pair of open company allowances where he ran well. And Cooler Mike, 45 to 1, 46 to 1. Some nice mutuals. The interesting one part of that Queen's Plate last week, Saturday, they bet Wonder Godot. Telekinesis was the morning line favorite, and not inappropriate, but Wonder Godot got bet, and under 5 to 2 to pay 640. 28 to 1 ahead by a Century. The disappointment in here, Dixie Moon really trailed early and never lifted off. Telekinesis was a solid enough fifth. A very good ride by Johnny on Wonder Godot. When she cruised up, you knew it was over into the turn. You could just see the way she was moving and wasn't being asked. I mean, a very impressive win, and certainly a horse that listeners to this show, and we'll let Cassie discuss it, but she was presented here right from word go. From the time she was ready to debut, you knew about her. And certainly, you know, going back to the Kentucky Oaks, it ran a dynamite race, and the addition of the blinkers after the Woodbine Oaks nip at the hands of Dixie Moon saves her best career performance for, and you could argue that the Oaks was as good a career performance as the Queen's Plate win, but we'll let Mark Cassie hash that out, all right? We'll also, since we're starting a little bit before the break here, we're starting with Woodbine on Saturday, and they had a big day. It looks like it was a hot day there, too, but it looked like it was a complete smashing success. The other grade one, we'll talk to Brad Cox about. So it's a perfect combination here. Longhorn Value and the Highlander, the win and you're in for the sprint, turf sprint, and what a great story this is when it comes to Marshall Graham and 2+ years, 10 strike racing and aggressive claiming and absolutely, you know, have done a terrific job getting, you know, finding horses, bringing them into the fold, and a breakthrough win for them. And Marshall Graham, who, you know, brings a fascinating perspective and background to the game, his financial and economic professor position. I'm going to get Marshall back on the show. They were, he and everybody involved here. And, of course, Steve Lehman, who we've known for years. And Day at the Spa, Steve Lehman's most prominent grade one winner. And Sol Kumin involved with Mattaquette. And that Sol actually with a big couple of weeks, because we'll talk a little bit in a minute about, you know, the other big win coming on the weekend for Sol with Midnight Bizu, that in the Mother Goose. But every weekend there's a Sol's got his hand in a stake winner on a weekly basis. But this one for for long on value and particularly Marshall Graham at 10th strike, really special. And it was a thriller, too. Lady Alexandra, second in here for Graham Motion. Graham had a good couple of weeks. The Hyder team, Scott Hyder and company. And Mrs. Weber's Holding Gold ran into some... He was idled for about a 16th of a mile, and he will get his appropriate win here at some point. We'll see what Mark has to say. But if you watch that back, he was idled and idled and idled, and long on value. Florent Giroux has had a good several weeks, actually. Giroux riding all over the place. Also a Woodbine. I bring this up because of the health scare. Jimmy Jerkins sent out Delta Prince for Andy Stronach, and they win the King Edward. And they won, you know, they won well as the 5-2 favorite. Jimmy, in for, if you hadn't heard this, Jimmy went in for a stress test on Monday, and you know, sort of similar to the Ron Anderson cardiac incident, they immediately opened him up, or at least put in a pair of stents. And Jimmy Jerkins doing well and apparently headed home today. So best wishes to Jimmy. Castellano was aboard for the Delta Prince win. This race had a lot of the usual suspects, including Shocky Ma, who Roger Atfield sent out, and 20-1 for Shocky Ma. Conquest Panthera, Cassie, Caribou Club, Proctor, and Craig Burnick. This was a good group in the King Eddie, as they like to say. A couple of other notes. I mentioned Gary Barber and what a great day they had at Woodbine with Mark Cassie. The Lexi Liu sibling sailing by broke her maiden. So she's next year's candidate for the being a daughter of a plate winner. In the Dance Smartly, too, Santa Monica for Chad and Coolmore and Saul Kumin. And Deron Pearson involved, too, in Santa Monica. And she was actually a nice price. She was over 7-2, 9:30 she paid. Very nice day of racing up at Woodbine. We'll talk more about it with both Cox and Cassie getting back into the swing. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old Calbred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's my heat seeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a good boy oughta. And your mama takes a shot to put their son. Something different. All the girls are seeming to like you. Cause you're handsome, like the dog.
Plenty of good times ahead this weekend, wherever you're going to be playing and whatever you're going to attend. I know that a lot of people planning to come for Stars and Stripes and for Arlington Million Preview Day, among others. Looking forward to talking to Bob Nastanovich later for Prairie Meadows and the Iowa Festival of Racing and so forth. And, of course, lots of other big weekends beside to look forward to, including, obviously, opening week at both Del Mar and Saratoga. And we get to this juncture, and you're looking at the calendar. So, wow, 2 weeks from yesterday and 2 weeks from tomorrow for the summer specials that everybody looks forward to and plans on, and will be in attendance, plenty. At the same time, you're also considering, you know, what is in the rearview mirror as we're doing here and catching up with a lot of the action. And I mentioned the news. We'll talk later in end of the show, third hour. Drew Mollica is going to join us. And for those that saw the news earlier this week, the really ridiculous, frankly, situation that happened involving Bill Mott and you know the time the issues around Saratoga Snacks with Bill, and this dragged on for an extended period. Mott absolutely rightly on a couple of different important issues that. Now that the thing is done, it really will have a lasting positive impact for owners and horsemen. And this, I'll let Drew lay out, you know, the elements of what's happened here. But much like the case that Graham Motion has pursued and you know has doggedly fought against it. Both of these issues that are involved, you know, not just one issue, when it comes to testing and split samples. This will have a lasting positive impact. The Mott has got to sit out for a week after getting a settlement in this thing, and he put a lot of money, his own money, into fighting this and bringing out the issues and the potential for even a civil action that he was ready to pursue. But this feels like a equitable enough resolution, and of course the case with Graham Motion continues as well to just bring out these kinds of nuts and bolts, really, when it comes to testing and so forth. But I'll let Drew flesh it out. Also on a business front, and I won't not going to dwell on this either, but there had been the last couple of weeks, really during the period we were away, a question as to what was happening in the racing office at the Maryland Jockey Club. And Georgianne Hale is taking on a vice president of racing development titled role with a handful of mission statement type activities. And her long, very successful tenure as the racing director at the MJC is over. And a young guy by the name of Chris Mers is going to come from Santa Anita. And I know Chris from that racing office and has been a very, very successful and a big help to David Jerkins when he's at Del Mar and Hammer at Santa Anita. He's going to come over, and it's a big opportunity, obviously, for him. He's 27. A note on Georgianne, who, of course, you've heard with me many, many times over the years, and particularly when she piloted that racing department through the most arduous period in Maryland Jockey Club history, when there was a question as to whether racing in Maryland was even going to survive. And under the most difficult backdrop, until the the stabilization, really, of Maryland and what went on with the attempts for casino licensing, ultimately the Cordish companies getting the license and the Maryland Live down at Anne Arundel at the mall, and then subsequent license granting. But there's been a very healthy and steady period here that has bolstered racing in Maryland, and there wouldn't be any, frankly, if Georgianne Hale didn't have the relationship. Coley Blind figures into this too, the stakes coordinator. Georgianne's work during that period, it will not ever be forgotten by anybody who breeds and owns and races in Maryland. As respected and appreciated, at least by those that work with her as a racing department manager, as anybody in recent memory. And she'll, whatever she's going to be doing, she'll do a great job. Georgianne Hale, one of the people I just have endless admiration for, knowing how she was able to hold together a palatable product when everybody, with a lot of people were looking elsewhere for race opportunities during that rough patch. And I wanted to pass that along and pay tribute to what George Ann has done and her, the lasting contribution, 20-plus years in that role. Speaking of somebody that has worked exceedingly hard, and this is news you may not have seen, Brad Cummings, who, again, you've heard over the years since the time that he developed his concept, Equilottery. And Brad Cummings has worked for, it's got to be, I don't know, 4 years, give or take, maybe more. I've lost track. But his concept of integrating racing into lottery games, it obviously had potential, and it was something that was going to have to be massaged and worked and created and whatever. And he's done everything. He landed in the end zone going back late last week, and Kentucky, the lottery corporation there, is going to test a game that they're going to call Win, Play, Show. And it'll have a 90-day test starting next March, so into April, May, June. $2 ticket with random selections in a race. I'll get Brad. Sure, I'll see him at Saratoga and let him talk about it. It's really, you know, when you work as hard as, and I, having checked in with him at several junctures, you heard him, I think, most recently when we were at the symposium in 16. And he kept morphing and simplifying and changing it to, you know, what the reception he was getting at lottery corporations. And this is a big success, and you know, no idea what the long-term ramifications are or contributions to racing, but it could, you know, there, that was part of what he had conceived, was a way to integrate, you know, some handle to the racetracks that would be involved. And this is his first opportunity, so congratulations to Brad Cummings and Equilottery. And we'll get the, I want to get the specifics, because it was something that obviously had, you know, real potential, and his dedication and what he's put in financially and time and effort deserve to be rewarded. And it's another example of, to me, you know, the investment, whether it's you know, new ventures, whether it's a product like Timeform or, you know, the various other, you know, optics, EQ, and, you know, there's been so many innovations and obviously Stats Race Lens. And by the way, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll do the Stats Race Lens webinar for Saturday at Belmont, and looking forward to it. I'm just back from vacation, and Dan Torjman is headed to vacation. And I don't think Ellistar takes vacation. So there's just some of it. I've got news I'll keep feathering in as the morning goes by. Let's take the break right here, because Brad Cox is going to join us, and we'll talk about Brad's success in the Highlander and with Marshall and with Long on Value, but also Midnight, not Midnight Bizu, the other, oh my God. Yeah. Not Midnight Bizu. I've got there's two others. I gotta go back and figure out who else it was. Well, obviously, I don't know if we ever talked to, I don't think we talked to him about Mr. Misunderstood on Foster Night. Right? That was another nice hit. And he also won the Regret that night with Beyond Blame. That was a fun night. Pavel's coming out party. Yeah, we talked to O'Neill, but we didn't get to Brad. But there's something I'm forgetting. I'm forgetting another. Who can keep track? I'm forgetting one of the. I'm missing one of the Brad Cox wins that I wanted to talk to him about. I will figure it out. There's so many. Haven't even touched yet on Gulfstream Saturday. The increasingly rebuilt Summit of Speed. XY Jet back and throttled the smile. Got to mention Matisse Racing and the wonderful Panny Price. Won the Bob Umfrey. Speaking of great racing secretaries. And Kathleen O'Connell. What a win. Want to get to Kathleen, Princess Rooney win for Stormy Embrace. First graded stake win for Wilmer Garcia, whose career was really interfered with when he had that car accident. Broke his neck and really put his career on pause. But that's a big win. And Kathleen, you know, does a great job. Let's take a break. Brad Cox going to start us off conversation-wise. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a trouble man. Change by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you.
Trying to do something new. Giving everything. Oh, it's
We're back at the races, about 20 to the top of the hour. Mark Cassie will join us at 10. Steve Haskin later as well. Bob Nastanovich to talk about the Iowa Festival of Racing. And that topic will come up actually with Brad Cox, who's joining us now and coming off of the last couple of weeks of successes, including the Highlander, as mentioned, long on value. Marshall Graham, who's just done a tremendous job building his group, and 10 Strike Racing operates really all over the place, like Brad. And I know Marshall was just beside himself with a grade one win, the first for his team, and not the first for the other partners, Steve Lyman and Saul Kuhlman. Brad, speaking of grade one wins, they're starting to pile up after that extended search. Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me this week. Yeah, and no, it's been a good last few months as far as the grade ones go. They definitely seem like they were starting to wonder if they were out there, but it's been a really good last few months.
Well, we can only hint about what's up for Monomoy Girl, and it seems like Saratoga Coaching Club on target, and maybe another dust up for her and Midnight Bisou coming off the Mother Goose. But let's talk about, you know, some of these horses that we haven't had a chance to discuss. And long on value, new to the barn, talk about, you know, getting him and identifying this opportunity, and then the terrific race he ran and great ride by Florent Giroux.
Yeah, he's been training extremely well. He got ready a little quick. We picked him up in April. Windstar had him this winter. They kind of took their time, just letting him, you know, rebound and get his feet underneath of him from his racing last year. And, you know, we worked him a couple times here on the turf prior to the Mighty Bow, and he worked extremely well and galloped out great. I was like, let's take a shot at the Mighty Bow, because I really just didn't know if he was quite ready to run. He'd really turned it on the month of May with his training and was doing extremely well. So, we expected a big effort out of him in the Mighty Bow. He gave it to us, and he had two fantastic works, one on the turf and one on the dirt at Churchill going into the Highlander. And, you know, he performed the way he was training. He told someone after the race he was training like a grade one horse, and he didn't let us down last Saturday in Canada. He'd been doing everything right, very happy, weight's great, very, you know, sound, and moving extremely well. So, very nice horse, and we're very proud of him, and it was a big win, like you said, for the group, especially 10 Strike, with it being their first grade one.
You know, it's always interesting with a horse like this, and especially you getting a chance. He's a veteran. He's 7 years old now, and he is a horse. He's not a gelding. The turf sprint milieu, with all its various nuances, whether it's 5 furlongs, 5.5. This was 6. The downhill course, 6.5. A totally different animal. I mean, and everywhere you go, Brad, in New York especially, there's such an unusual, you know, set of start points and opportunities. You know, Saratoga, we can go short. Downstate, you really can't. When you looked at this horse, what was your reaction? Whether it was watching his prior races and then watching him get ready for particularly this spot, that tells you, you know, what his best aptitude is when it comes to turf sprinting.
Well, he's versatile. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's obviously the one thing we do know about the horse is he doesn't want to be up close sprinting. You know, he does want to come out of it, run down the lane. He doesn't want to try to, you know, win the race the first quarter mile. He wants to win it the last quarter, but, he's versatile. I mean, he can do 5/8 of a mile, you know, against the right company and the right course. He's proved that he could get a mile, you know, in the Woodbine Mile last year. He didn't win, but he ran a really, really credible race. And, you know, he's versatile. He can do anything from 5/8 probably up to a mile on the turf. And, you know, I don't know exactly what his best distance is. I mean, he needed every bit of the 3/4 the other day at Woodbine to get past that really nice filly of Grand Motions. But you are right. I mean, you think about that as far as, you know, downstate New York, upstate New York. You know, 5.5 is as long as you get turf sprinting at Belmont. They don't do anything shorter than 3/4. I guess you run into a lot of horses for courses, I guess you would say. But this horse is versatile. I do feel like he's a horse that would be able to handle the 5.5 this fall at Churchill in the Breeders' Cup turf sprint. Honestly, if it was 5/8 of a mile at Churchill like it has been in the past, I would have some concerns. But with it being 5.5, I think it's something that he could get it done. But he's versatile and he can go up to a mile.
Well, he's certainly got a nice pace to chase, and he will get opportunities. If you want to go back to Saratoga, last year he ran in both that Lucky Coin and the Troy. When you know you've got an assignment, like you do with a win and you're in opportunity, what's your inclination in terms of running a little longer and then getting him sharp, or working through a series of 5.5 and 6 efforts, to keep him focused on the distance? What's the inclination?
Right now, I'd say we were probably look at the Troy next out. We'll just kind of see how that race comes up, and even possibly the 4-star Dave at Saratoga.
Nice.
He did run really well last year in the Troy behind Green Mass. We'll look at the mile race as well. Like you said, though, with him winning the Breeders' Cup, winning you're in the sprint, it would make sense to probably keep our attention turned towards sprint races. But there's nothing saying we can't, run him a mile the race before the Breeders' Cup and, to use it for a fitness tool or, experiment with him a little bit, just because we run him a mile prior to the Breeders' Cup sprint doesn't mean we don't have to stay in sprint races just because we have a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup. So we'll just kind of let, everything shake out, see how things play out over the fall.
Well, and the best part for you is once the summer's over and you wrap up at Saratoga, you get to bring him to Churchill and he runs out of his own stall. This is always a scenario that, and you got plenty of other horses that are going to be doing the same thing when we get to the end of October and the first weekend in November. So a very nice scenario, long on value. Plenty of others to also look forward to, whether running back or coming out of nice wins. And it occurred to me that didn't get a chance to talk after Foster Night, Mr. Misunderstood, and speaking of Florent Giroux and Beyond Blame and the Wise Dan and the Regret. And that was a nice night.
Yeah, it was a great night. Both horses picked up graded victories. Obviously, it held Beyond Blame's value a tremendous amount, being a 3-year filly by Blame. And Mr. P.L. Blake's a breeder. He does breed as a broodmare band, so I'm sure she'll definitely become part of that. And picking up the graded stake win will definitely increase her value. And she's a big, nice, pretty filly. Think a lot of her. She's been good to us the whole time. Race Oaks Day, she had a little bit of trouble, just didn't break that well and got steady going into the first turn. Just was a very solid group of fillies, and she had too many hurdles to overcome the first half mile of the race. But she had been training extremely well. I was real pleased with where she was, and she ran a great race. And I think right now we're probably going to look at the Arlington Million Day. They have the Pucker Up going 1 1/8. It's a grade 3. So we'll kind of turn our attention toward the Pucker Up with her. But she's doing extremely well.
Well, in addition, just looking at her out of a Forest Wildcat mare and Beyond Blame, this is a bit of a breakthrough. I mean, she had certainly been, competitive. The Edgewood, she had trouble, right? She got sawed off and took away all chance there. So she may be emergent yet, Brad, going forward this summer.
Yeah, she's a nice filly, and she's a big, big, strong filly, very pretty filly. And she's, we picked her up last fall, and she always showed, act as if she was a runner, and she gives you what she's got. She's very honest, very, very honest filly.
And you mentioned the owner breeder. Give us a little more on they operate under Papa Top.
Yeah, Mr. Blake, he's from Birmingham, Alabama. He does a lot of his brood mares with Jody Huckabee at Elm Tree Farm. They do a tremendous job. They do run some of them through the sale. Some of them they offer weanlings and yearlings, and they'll take them as far as 2-year-old and training. And sometimes you just end up with a few, and we've been training for them for about a year. So we've had a good run over the last year, won some races together, and obviously this filly's the best one we've had, and she's been very good to us and very good to him.
Very nice. Well, she's now 3-for-6 and beyond blame, and lots of great opportunities yet for 3-year-old fillies, and of course culminates later in the year with the Queen Elizabeth. And then let's get to Mr. Misunderstood. And you know, going back to that Wise Dan, it felt going into this race that he was kind of the forgotten horse a little bit. And you know, then when it became obvious mid stretch that he was going to win, I kind of shook my head a little bit that, and a decent price too, almost 3-to-1. Mr. Misunderstood, who went on that great run last year, and maybe coming into another nice form cycle after the try in the Maker's Mark, and then this win going back 2 weeks at Churchill.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm hoping. He reels off another 6 or 7 of them like he did last year. That'd be nice. So, but no, he's a very nice horse. He was the second half of last year. He had a nice win streak going, and you know, we had to step up and run against the older horses this winter at the fairgrounds. And you know, he runs great races every time. I think he lost 3 in a row. It was the Fairgrounds Handicap, the Munez, and the Maker's Mark Mile. And honestly, The Munez, he had a little traffic trouble, and the Maker's Mark Mile, he didn't break well. He just just kind of broke flat-footed and spotted some of the best milers in the country, you know, 2 or 3 lengths, and he was beaten 2 or 3 lengths. So I'm not saying he would have won the race in the Maker's Mark Mile, but I do think it would have been it would have been much closer at the finish. They give us a lot of confidence with him. They're giving me a lot of confidence with him moving forward that, you know, he can compete with the really good horses. We looked at running back in the opening verse Derby week and kind of thought about trying him there, but the race was a very deep field for I believe a $75,000 purse, and we would have been running back quick again. We're running back quick from the Munez to the Maker's Mark Mile. I want to say it was like 3 weeks, and then we were trying him back again in 3 weeks and talked to State and Flurry, the owner. I just said, you know, look, this horse, you know, he's made several starts for a 4-year-old, and you know, I want to have him around all year, so let's just kind of slow down with him. And we wanted to make a start, you know, mid-May, late May, but there just wasn't really anything out there that made sense. So I thought, you know, let's just train him up to the Wise Dean, and it worked out extremely well. I mean, obviously, anytime you run a horse off of nearly a 2-month layoff, or it was a 2-month layoff, I guess you're a little concerned with fitness, but and he's a big, heavy, he's a, you know, stout horse, carries his weight extremely well. I was a little concerned maybe about fitness, but he'd been training really well on the turf course here at Churchill. He had like 2 or 3 works on the turf going into that race, and was really forward in all of them, and he showed up and run a big race. Very proud of him.
Where do you want to target going forward here this summer?
He's another one that we could look at Saratoga, maybe the 4-star day with him as well. Kind of looking at Kentucky Downs as well, the Tourist Mile, I don't know the exact date, but September. But, you know, he's another one I don't feel like we just have to, you know, find a rate, you know, to run him off of another layoff. I mean, you know, give him a couple months between starts is no big deal. But he came out of his race extremely well. He's going to work this weekend. It'll actually be his first work since his race, and he's doing extremely well.
Nice. Well, obviously, weekend after weekend, plenty of big horses in big spots, and this weekend, no exception. I don't want to dwell too much on what's ahead. I mentioned Monomoy Girl, and looks like a date in the Coaching Club American Oaks. Quick update on her?
She's doing fantastic. She'll breeze either Saturday or Sunday here at Churchill. She had a really nice breeze last Sunday. She certainly doesn't seem to have regressed at all since. She seems to keep getting better and better. She's very mentally tough. She's a very, very tough filly, and you know, likes to train, enjoys her job, enjoys training, and obviously enjoys racing. Very pleased with where we are with her right now, as far as fitness and attitude and coat, and she's just doing extremely well.
We had at some point, you know, in the regular Monomoy Girl visits, speculated about Alabama, the mile and a quarter. Any further thoughts about, you know, how she's maybe matured and physically, and what, you know, what that portends for potentially what in a lot of ways is the most challenging assignment for three-year-old fillies, other than maybe facing elders in the distaff?
Yeah, it is a demanding race. I mean, anything at Saratoga is demanding, period. A mile and an eighth demanding. A mile and a quarter is extremely demanding. But, you know, I don't know. We're gonna totally, you know, our attention's turned toward the coaching club. I mean, your job right now is to have her ready on the 22nd of July. And we'll just kind of see what happens after that. I'm not totally saying no to the Alabama, but it's not really something that we feel like we don't have to prove anything. She's proved herself being a three-time grade one winner. And, you know, she's trained extremely well here at Churchill. We'll keep her here pretty much right up to the coaching club. And we just kind of make a decision after the coaching club is whether we look to the Alabama or the Cotillion or what moving forward.
Mm, and that's certainly one of those juncture options. Cotillion at the end of September on the Pennsylvania Derby card, and of course grade one for the three-year-old fillies as well. Let me take an opportunity. Bob Nastanovich is going to join us at the top of hour three, Brad, to talk about the Iowa Festival of Racing, and there in Altoona at Prairie Meadows tonight and tomorrow, and you're involved. Give us a look ahead, and of course my man Ed Kelly, he won't be happy if I don't bring up Sassy Sienna.
Yeah, she's doing really well. We've just freshened her up a little bit after the Oaks. We definitely, you know, she had a tough winter campaign, and she showed up every time, ran a great race in the Kentucky Oaks. Very pleased with her effort in the Oaks. But she's been working extremely well. I do think she'll really like that track and the layout at Prairie Meadows. I think she'll be close to the pace. Florence breezed her a few times in recent weeks and is extremely happy with how she's moving and how she feels. So we think she'll show up and make a good account of herself tonight at Prairie Meadows.
Very nice. And you're looking at Golden Mischief, too, in the Sailorville tonight.
Yeah, we're hoping she gets a little cleaner trip than last time. She's been a little bit of an inconsistent filly for us, and she'll give us a glimpse of brilliance, and then nothing was her fault last time. She had an extremely rough run into the first turn, went a little quick, kind of got bounced around, but hopefully, you know, she was down on the inside that day, so I believe she broke from the two hole. Tonight she breaks from the outside, so she kind of let the race unfold a little bit and to the inside of her, and Florent, you know, hopefully can get a nice clean trip with him. She'll make a good account of herself.
Let's look ahead to Friday as well, the Iowa Derby, and here's High North, and High North has been, you know, dancing the big dances, came out of the Peter Pan, slightly, obviously, disappointing, coming off the good performance in the Northern Spur. There is a sense, Brad, that he's kind of alternating efforts. Is he sitting on a race tomorrow night?
I believe so. He breezed fantastic here the other morning at Churchill on what was it, Monday, or it was on the 2nd. But anyway, he breathes extremely well, did it well within himself, shipped up to Prairie yesterday, settled in today, he's in school today. I think he's set up for a big effort, but I do know what you're saying. I mean, it's a little inconsistent with his forms and shows some signs of talent, and then kind of like you get high on him, and then he kind of lets you down a little bit. But, you know, he's doing extremely well. I think he'll like that track up there as well. Hopefully somewhat be forwardly placed and get a good clean trip, and he could be definitely be in the mix.
Well, 5-2 made him the morning line favorite. I think Bob Nastanovic, in fact, does the morning line. Lionite for Steve Asmussen, 3-1. That Mr. Freeze going over there, 5-1. The tabulator, Larry Rivelli, always dangerous, involved as well. And a quick survey of Arlington on Saturday. You got Million Preview Day.
Yeah, those guys did a good job of putting those races together. They're extremely tough. They're $100,000 grade threes. They look like more like grade twos to me, some of them. But it's a solid card. We're sending four horses over. Esmosh, obviously, he's in the Derby. He won the Arlington Classic last time out. And, hopefully he can repeat. Cool Beans, this is a filly we think a lot of. We're going to put her back on the grass. She ran some really good against some really good fillies. She broke her maiden. She's actually second. Was put up to DQ last summer at Saratoga. Very, very nice filly. We think a lot of. Extremely talented. And going to give her an opportunity to get some black type. And they also have Arclo trying a mile and a half for the first time. So we think that's something that he's been wanting to do for a while. So we're going to give him this opportunity. And Compass Zone, a gelding, we think a good bit of her. An extremely good race there at Belmont Day, I should say, the race after the Belmont, actually blew a shoe in that race as well, and he set up for a big effort there in the Arlington Handicap. That's a very strong group of horses, though, but I think he'll make a good account of himself. He's ready for a big effort.
Very nice. Well, a nice set of races, as you mentioned, the American Derby, the Hatouf, the Stars and Stripes, and the Arlington Handicap Compass Zone as well.
Yeah.
Nice group. And plenty of others, even Evangeline, John Henry, coming up on Saturday. The big changes, and there's some maidens. You're getting going at Ellis. We should mention the two-year-old program there, which, before we go, tell everybody how you distinguish and separate the two-year-olds you want to take to Saratoga and the two-year-olds that you run at Ellis.
Well, if you're going to put something on the van to go to Saratoga, you got to really like it. that's basically what it comes down to. And it doesn't mean that we did not like the horses or think any less of them. But, you know, you really want to send something to Saratoga that you think, you know, graded quality or will eventually become graded quality and can compete, and it's obviously somewhat precocious. That's what we've done in the past. We've won a few baby races up there, and they're tough to win. They're extremely, competitive races and high-dollar horses, and, you know, top trainers don't send out – these guys stabled up there don't send out horses that, you know, are needing a race. They seem to be pretty cranked up and ready to go. So that's really what we do. Anything we really think, you know, separated themselves and shows talent, we'll put them on a van and ship them north.
Well, in the meantime, you've got what looks to be a nice Super Saver, Super Bound, and Shakes Creek, both tomorrow at Ellis in that sixth race maiden.
Yeah, both horses are doing extremely well. Both of them are obviously late bloomers and taking some time to get to the races, but both of them are training extremely well. Honestly, I can't split those two horses. Obviously, one's a three, one's a four. I'd rather not run them against each other, but I do need to get them both started, and I do think both of them will run extremely well. I like both of those horses a lot, so I'm excited about both of them.
Well, and the factor, the sire of Shakes Creek for Rupp Racing. This was a $165,000 OBS purchase last April, and the homebred Superbound, Super Saver, out of the Stormy Atlantic mare that Sandra Sexton bred, and she's got a partnership with the Nicholsons in here. So many things we could talk about. Good chance, Brad, we'll talk to you next week based on right, based on what you got going. Always tremendous. I appreciate it. And I think there's a thank you due you, because when you were on last, and I think that was after Belmont weekend, I asked you about a maiden, and some listeners scored. We talked about, I think, an Indiana, a maiden at Indiana.
Is it Sense of Bravery?
Maybe. Maybe. But I know that some people were very pleased. You know, in fact, one person that's an older gentleman that's on Derby Trail, he said he thinks he made his first bet ever in Indiana, and he was quite pleased.
Good deal.
I love it. Brad Cox, everybody, and just doing terrific, and looking forward to having him here at Saratoga. And Monomoy Girl, certainly going to be one of the highlights with her and Midnight Bisou and the three-year-old Philly crowd. We'll see about Marcassi next, and where Wonder Gadot is going to turn up. She may come back and dance those dances. Let's take a time out a little past the top of the hour. Mark Cassie's going to join us, talk about his second Queen's Plate victory, and obviously with his operation and the Ontario, not just Ontario, but mostly Ontario breads that turn up. He's always got his eye out, like Woody Stevens used to do. We're looking for his Belmont horse every year with the two-year-olds. Cassie tells you, pretty much during the summer, at some point in August into September, Cassie will start to tell you about his likely. He may already have one, actually, that I mentioned earlier, that's sailing by, Lexi Liu's sibling. But we'll get Mark Cassie in to talk about winning a second Queen's Plate. It took him a while to get that first one, sort of the way it took Brad Cox a while to get his first Grade One, and now now they're coming with alacrity, as they say. Back after this, hour two at the races, coming up on another big race weekend. Cassie also got plenty of horses to look forward to. He'll join us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.